Traveling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zemke.
Ooh, Morena, how are you?
Morena, I'm good.
I'm very excited,
are
Kirsten.
You? Yeah. Okay, tell me why.
Glam rock.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's
super fun.
Yeah, I reckon it's fun.
Well, you're exactly right. It's fun. So
cool.
You have to contextualize it. So this is the early 70s. It's like literally like 71 to 74. It's like a really short lifespan, but hugely impactful. But if you go back and picture the time, rock music had gotten quite serious, you know, sort of Vietnam War protest.
I mean, important stuff.
Or like, you know, Jimi Hendrix, like phenomenal guitar solos. It had gotten really big and really earnest.
Mm-hmm.
And so here come some guys with not only fluffy hair, fluffy bangs.
Fluffy bangs. Very
fluffy bangs.
That's like peak 70s is fluffy bangs.
And wearing
glam rock.
Glitter and feather boas and jumpsuits and platform shoes. And they kind of actually did pop songs.
Yeah.
You know, so it was almost anti-rock in that it had, you know, little catchy hooks and it wasn't singing about anything. So, you know, fun was really important. It was sort of putting the fun back into, you know, rock and roll, which had kind of grown up a bit.
Yeah, totally.
And got serious.
Shall I? I'm going to hit some T-Rex to kick us off this morning.
This is pioneer of glam.
Mm. Don't you just already feel like a little bit more cheerful? She's my woman of gold. She's not very old. Also, I cannot listen to T-Rex without thinking of Billy Elliot.
Oh,
it's basically the whole of Billy Elliot.
Now you've just ruined it for me. Thank you.
No, I love that movie.
No, me too. But now I'm losing the glam.
You're just thinking of.
I'm thinking of little Billy Elliot, not
ballet. Oh, this is terrible.
I, on the other hand, feel like Mia Wallace because it's Friday night, and I'm like.
Yep. The clicking is very good. Yeah.
So really simple pop.
Totally,
know?
Yeah.
So it was rock, but pop rock, which is a really important sort of way that rock went. I don't think it would have sustained itself if it had.
So what kind of led this new direction? Were people just like, we need to shake it out of it?
Well, or literally this band, so Mark Ball and this guy, who unfortunately died in 77, which is why we don't have like lots more from him. They were like a psychedelic folk band.
Yes.
And then they just did this song, and this became the single. And also, this was a very Top of the Pops era.
Yeah.
And so he appeared on Top of the Hops. Top of the Pops. You know, with glitter on his face and feather boa. And we're talking spandex jumpsuits, but with the big chest.
Yeah.
A lot of chest.
It doesn't hurt that Mark Bolan was quite a beautiful man as well, probably.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and that starts that beautiful man, because you think of that. The rockers before weren't, like, beautiful. They were harder. They were tougher.
Yeah. This is, like, would we call Bowie glam rock in the same way that
absolutely.
We do? Yeah, cool. So this is all that sort of era.
He's less sort of scene connected, as in this sort of localized, but definitely because it was right at this time that he has, like, Ziggy Stardust, and he's dressing like a girl, too. And that was a huge rebellion.
Yeah.
They were saying, like, you know, if you want to rebel against your parents, getting a girl pregnant, going down to the pub, isn't, like, that's what they did. But putting on eyeliner, oh my God. You know, so this was actually a super rebellion that panicked your parents more than substance abuse.
So this is from the Electric Warrior album. It's Hot Love A-Side. What are your thoughts on glam rock, BFM listeners? 5395.
And during this time period, 70 to 73, they had 11 singles in the top 10. They were like a sort of a Beatles of the time.
That's
like,
actually quite crazy.
It was so big. And then you can imagine they would have been on Top of the Pops for each single. So you'd see them on your television or
all
on the radio.
Time. Yeah, yeah.
Such a huge impact for a short time.
So if you've got like, I always think it's interesting because people like Bowie are so, you know, part of the cultural psyche now that we sometimes forget that he was the radical fringe.
Yeah,
well,
I mean,
it's hard to forget
and
that
there was
because
a time
his music
before
is
him.
Still radical, but there was a time before
him. Yeah, and so, well, that's the thing about glam, like, it's the short-lived.
Yeah.
But then you think of
but super, super influential.
Everything afterwards. Kiss, Prince, Marilyn Manson, hair metal, even some of the American punk. Basically, anytime a guy's wearing eyeliner in rock music, That's glam.
The Sovereigns texted in to say Bowie kissed Mick Ronson singing Starman on Top of the Pops. My mum was horrified. There you go. Freaking out your parents left, right, and center.
Now, here's a weird... So, if, you know, I talked about his long-term influence with, like, Prince and Marilyn Manson. But think about the time. Elton John.
Yeah, true.
Not that he's glam, but it's like he was allowed to dress how he dressed and not be exposed as gay at that time because of these guys.
Amazing, yeah.
I mean, Bowie was a self-identified bisexual, but most of these other bands weren't actually queer-identified. So the gender bending was more surface, but it still has impact. Again, Freddie Mercury could stay under the radar as long as he felt he needed to.
So it's kind of like
because these guys.
Yeah, it's kind of codified in a really interesting way. Speaking of gender bending, I'm going to swing us into Sparks now.
Now, had you heard of them?
I love Sparks.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yes.
I was worried you would think they weren't glam.
No, I... Well,
because well, they're
don't
not
know.
British. No. So they don't fit neatly into that scene, but they don't fit anywhere else. And I saw them listed, and so I popped it in.
I, yeah, deeply love Sparks.
It's two guys. Brothers. It's not a lady.
Yes. So this is interesting because I think maybe a lot of people would be like, is this glam? Is this glam? But it definitely is.
It definitely
so
has
glam.
Proggy elements with the opera. But
yeah, yeah.
The singer guy looks just like Mark Bolan.
Yeah.
And then his brother looks like Hitler.
God.
And so the YouTube comments are really funny.
This is from Kimono My House, classic album.
Or someone else said that the staid brother with a mustache looks like Charlie Chaplin with a stroke.
Oh, dear. Someone said, glam rock, well, about time, just strapping on my platforms.
Oh.
Glad you have
when
nice
you said
stomach.
Strapping on, I was worried it was going to go somewhere else.
Bit of fresh at 8:15 in the morning. So it was quite a UK-specific scene, but obviously had this influence in America.
Impact. And then a band like this doing something similar at the same time. But then being popular in England, you know,
in
America,
yeah.
because it wasn't a scene, there wasn't as much chart
acceptance. So these guys had more success in the UK.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And again, this is quite a bit weirder than T-Rex, you know, it leans on a bunch of strange...
But you can still see it anti that sort of Grateful Dead jeans, you know, denim rock and roll. Like, this is pop with shiny leopard print.
Kimonos.
More chests.
And quite a bit of cross-dressing and things like that, too. Yeah, Sparks were big on that.
Oh, so this song is...
This song is so good.
74.
Yep.
Another thing glam sort of opened the door for, Rocky Horror, 73.
True, of course.
That
just
all of a sudden this cross-dressing was sort of allowed into the mainstream.
Yeah.
With some
In
acceptance.
Certain context, maybe.
Well, like you said,
yeah.
some parents still didn't like it, but it was a way to have rebellion.
It was
rebellion.
Becoming something you saw, yeah.
Someone even mentioned the Osmonds. You know, they wore those jumpsuits with sparkles on it. ELO, The Who, Blondie, you know, that.
Yeah.
It just sort of opened this door for this different kind of rock music.
Now, I'm quite interested because it seems to be quite a blokey scene in many ways.
Yeah.
But we've got Suzi Quatro here with 48 Crash.
She's often counted as glam, and I'm really glad because she does the gender bending the other way.
Yeah, she does a bit, eh?
Queen shit. She looks exactly like her band members who are male.
Yeah.
Like there's just, you can see how they're all androgynous. Same haircut, same outfits.
What did she wear?
She's so cool.
And she was a leather jumpsuit.
Cool.
With low V. And she
also has the fluffy bangs going on as well.
Oh yeah, that haircut, I wanted it so bad. She played the bass, so like, you know, which. To have a female bass player, lead singer.
Yeah.
And she was more popular in England than she was in the States initially.
That's so interesting.
Because it was a British
You've got things like The Runaways and stuff in the sort of...
That all followed her.
Yeah, Jett, era Chrissy just Hine. After.
Yep. Yeah. So people feel like she kicked the door down with platform shoes.
Yeah.
Are you looking her up, Aunt Margaret?
Yeah, of course.
She's so hot.
I know, I really want to see her. Unfortunately, I'm going through that constant, like, getting kicked off the BFM Wi-Fi and forced onto the UOA one.
Oh, it's because you're looking at such hot photos, that's why.
Someone said Slade very much. They went from a skinhead band to a glam band. Also, Roxy Music, of course, very much. So these are all obviously the UK scene as well.
Yep, the sweet wizard. But yeah, Slade will like T-Rex, sort of that swap.
Yeah.
And it seems a weird swap.
Yeah. Someone else has said, my uncle introduced me to Bowie and I had Mark Bolan posters on my bedroom wall and Sweet, etc. Love glam rock.
I don't know what gender you are, bro, but...
It's Grizzy. Hey, Grizzy. We used to get gold stars from the stationers and cover our 10-year-old faces. And apparently her brother went to Susie Q at the town hall.
Oh.
That would have been mean.
So, Mary Margaret, what'd you think of Susie?
Smoking.
Yeah,
I've been
very
a
good.
Fan of the leather jacket ever since I fell in love with Cara Delevingne when I was 13. And just seeing her in the black leather is just killing me.
So it's funny, though, because as you're saying, Susie Quattro, she did the gender bending kind of thing, or like...
Well, it's because
flipping
the guys
back into
were already
the
doing
of,
it.
Yeah, exactly. Kind of back into that sort of slightly blokier territory.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, rock was so male dominated. Yeah. I mean, still kind of is. That she often cites, like, besides Grace Slick before her,
she's
the only one.
It is, like, quite theatrical in its own way, glam rock. It's got that very much, like, the lights, camera action.
We think later, you know, now that's a part of rock, right?
Totally.
You know, smoke machines and lights and...
Yeah. Mott the Hoople?
Yep. And I always feel like I'd say that wrong if I said it out loud.
Yeah.
Mott the Hoople.
Mott the Hoople.
Yep.
Someone said, I think this was about Sparks, this is Spinal Tap.
Yep.
But it's legit, mate. Fantastic. So this is Susie Quattro, 48 Crash. We also listened to Sparks, This Town Ain't Big Enough for the Both of Us, and T-Rex with Hot Love A-Side. Little glam rock foray this morning. What are you bringing us next week, Kirsten?
Oh, we're going to go weird. I don't know if everyone's going to like it. I'm worried about saying it. You won't like it.
Oh, what is it?
Chiptunes.
Oh, that will be interesting. All right.
Happy that glam was well beloved.
Well beloved.
Chiptunes might not be so much.
It's good. It's good to have some controversial music out there. Thank you very much, Kirsten. We'll see you next week.
All right.
That was Travelling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zimpke.
It's certainly.